And welcome to Flowery Branch with Dave Archer, West Durham, the Falcons Coaches Show presented by Superior Plumbing. Head Coach Mike Smith with us in our first half hour, and then offensive tackle Tyson Claybo will join us at 3:30. Well, the Falcons are in the tournament, as they like to say, and now it's Seattle on Sunday at 1 o'clock, and AT&T's countdown to kickoff starts our coverage at 11 a.m. here on 7-9 of the Zone. Smitty, a week off, and you guys were in here going pretty good last week during the bye week, weren't you?
We sure were. The week off was just off from playing a game. We worked 4 days with our players, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, doing some Falcons on Falcons. And then the coaching staff was spending time on the three potential opponents. Now we know who we're playing. At that point, we didn't. So we spent Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday working on each team that we had the potential playing.
Smitty, how difficult is it to do the week off scenario? You've been in both situations. Obviously, logistically, you only have to play two games to get the Super Bowl, as opposed to or win two instead of three. But the ability to kind of psychoanalyze and all the people talking, all this kind of stuff around your team, and you don't get to really go out and do anything, is that difficult to manage?
Well, it's something that everybody really plays the regular season to get in that situation, and then I like to say, hey, we won last week, right? We're going on to the second round. So we actually won a football game, and we didn't have to expose ourselves to any possibilities of injuries, and we got an opportunity to get some guys healthy. So in that way, it's advantageous. Sometimes you concern yourselves with being out of the routine, but our routines have been so different this year. We've not had, we've not had it be 1 o'clock kickoffs. We've had Saturday night game, Sunday night game, Monday night game, Thursday night game, mini bye week. So I think our guys handled it well.
And really back-to-back home games for the first time this year.
Yes, that's true. We've been on.
It's incredible.
Yes. I've not spent a year.
Welcome to that club.
Yeah.
Most people kind of take care of that during the regular season.
Yeah. We had to take care of it and, get home field advantage throughout and to get two home games back-to-back. But, we're excited. Last night as we watched the game as a staff, watching the Seahawks, come back from that 14-point deficit showed a lot of resolve, and we're anxious, to get really going on the field. We spent this morning meeting with our players and doing some weight training, but we won't really get out on the field till Wednesday.
When you look at the draw, and you knew it was one of three teams, was there any sort of thought of similarity between the three that you thought about last week before these games played out? Was there one common – I mean, there are the top three rushing teams, I guess, in the NFL. That'd be one.
Yes.
But was there anything else that jumped off the page to you in terms of what you guys looked at from the surface level?
Well, two of the teams have a quarterback that you have to count for as a rusher. Mm-hmm. So that was – there were some similarities. But when you flip it on the other side, the defensive side of the ball, it was – it was different. It's funny, one of the questions that you get asked when you're on a bye week and you don't really know what the right answer is who do you want to play? We just want to play. And if you ask an offensive coach, it's probably got a different view than the defensive coach, and then you ask the special teams coach. So our approach was real simple. We're going to prepare for all three, and we're going to get – to come together as a staff on Sunday afternoon, and watch that ball game. And once it was over, we knew where we were going. We had a staff meeting. We put everything into place, and we had it. We had if Minnesota would have won, we would have come in early Sunday morning and started that process as well.
Head Coach Mike Smith here on the Head Coach Mike Smith Show, brought to you by Superior Plumbing, West Durham. Dave Archer alongside Smitty. William Moore, a guy that has not played for you for the last couple of weeks because of the hamstring and trying to get himself healthy, the extra week obviously aids in that. The question I get a lot during the week on the show is, what do you do with William Moore because he's going to be so amped up because he hadn't played for a while and all those kind of things. Is there a special thing you need to do with him separately than you would anybody else?
Well, no. In terms of our weekly preparation, we've got to integrate William back into the defense. We started doing that at the end of the week last week, so it was good to get him back out on the practice field. He got through the practices without any effects, so we feel like he'll be 100%. Obviously, you want to have guys not miss games and not miss time, but that's just not possible all the time. And William is, even though he's a fourth-year player, mm-hmm. he's played a lot of games for us, and it's good to see him back out on the on the field practicing, and we are looking forward to seeing him going out and competing against Seattle on Sunday.
His conditioning, despite missing four games at the end of the regular season, you feel good about where he is from a conditioning standpoint, what he was able to do to kind of stay in football shape to get him ready for Sunday?
Well, that's always a concern. We can do a lot of conditioning, and we were doing a lot of cardiovascular conditioning mm-hmm. with all of our injured guys, and William's done a nice job working with our athletic performance group. But there's nothing like playing the game of football. We all know that. That's something that we'll definitely have to monitor. We'll monitor here through the week of practice, but definitely have to do that on game day.
Well, and I guess the layman, the novice defensive coordinator out there would say, okay, Marshawn Lynch, you've got a kid that can run it at the quarterback spot. Number 25 out there thumping people would be pretty good, and I would imagine you would agree with
that. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. William's been an integral part of the success that we've had on the defensive side of the ball. In my mind, he's played as well as any safety in the NFL. He's a very physical player that can create mismatches. We talk all the time about how offenses can create mismatches. William is big. He's got great speed, and he's a very aggressive tackler, so he can create some matchups that help in our favor as well.
So, man, are you a little disappointed that more Falcons weren't on the Pro Bowl, named the Pro Bowl team? You get a team that goes 13-3, and obviously it goes to all the outside respect thing. But at some point, your peers and your coaches are voting on this thing. 2/3 of the vote coming from that area. That there weren't more than just three players off your team.
I was a little surprised. In terms of, I think there were a number of guys that definitely needed to be considered for that, or in my mind were Pro Bowl players. And that's something that happens every year. I'm very happy for the three guys that made it. I think they were well-deserving, and I think there were a handful of others, and I'm a little prejudiced, but I think there were a handful of others on both sides of the football that definitely played well enough to be recognized as a Pro Bowl player.
When you get to this particular week, and you were talking about Falcons on Falcons last week, and I know how you like to schedule things out. When did you start looking at the possibility of using last week the way you did? Now, if it became a possibility and you were going to play in one of the top two seats, did you think, okay, we're going to handle it this way this time as opposed to the previous experiences, and just say, here's the reason we're going to do it, and just kind of applied philosophy, so to speak?
Actually, the year after we had the opportunity to go through the bye week, when we did our off-season analysis, it was something that
we... So 2 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah.
So 2 years ago, we went through the analysis and we analyzed everything that we did. One of the things that we talk about is scheduling and how we're going to schedule things and how we're going to do things. And if we get in that situation again, we frame it out how we think this would allow us to prepare better and maybe get a different result. So it's something that we've had. It's been in it's been in my folder. When I say in my folder, not a manila folder, but a folder on my laptop, in terms of how we would schedule this week. Certainly hoping that we'd get an opportunity to do it again. We got that opportunity this season to have the bye week and home field advantage throughout, so we were able to put that into play last week.
Also seemed that your team, granted, very enthusiastic about it. I mean, there wasn't a lot of, okay, yeah, I like the idea of doing this. I mean, everybody was bought in on the front end. Now, you're the head coach, and you can tell them what to do, but they kind of bought in, it seemed like, too.
Well, again, I try to present it to the, you know, present it to the players well in advance.
Mm-hmm.
When we were rolling fairly well and knew that it was a possibility,
sure,
it was something that you know, that I presented to a couple of the guys and told them why, told them this was the reason behind it, and wanted to get some of their feedback. Huh. Not that I would change it, but I wanted to get some of their feedback, and it was you know, it was well received. We basically took the week off last time, and the way that our bye weeks fell this week, I felt like it was important for us to go out and get some work done.
Smitty, so much you've made of the pressures being increased, and a lot of times that's from people on the outside that have never actually been in the position. But, yeah, there's pressure every week when you line up. But, you know, here you are, one of the last few teams standing and have a chance to go win the championship. The pressures ramp up. How important, then, is it for you and maintain that consistency with the player so it's the same routine?
Well, we're all creatures of habit, and we're going to, you know, the routine once we get into game week is going to be very, you know, very similar to what we do all season long. You know, our expectations, we know what they are. Someone asked earlier and mentioned about, you know, it's all on the Falcons. Every week it's on the Falcons. Mm-hmm. It's really not about our opponent. It's about us. We've got to go out and we've got to prepare well. If we prepare well, we feel like we give ourselves the best chance to be successful, and we're looking forward to having a good week of preparation this week.
All right, when we come back, more about the Seattle Seahawks, who will be here on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Our pregame coverage starts at 11. Chris Tomino and Coy Wire from the floor of the Dome with AT&T's Countdown to Kickoff. The Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing, the Honest Plumber at 770-422-PLUM. Coming up, the SunTrust Bank defensive shining play of the game. And don't forget the U.S. Auto Sales You Tell Us text line for Tyson Klebo at 77530. All that and more after this on 790 The Zone.
Down the field and intercepted, William Moore. William Moore caught it going out of bounds. There's no signal. Now ruled incomplete. It is an interception now.
This is from the Saints.
Now they call it an interception.
Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone. To get NFL Mobile, call Star NFL to get it now. NFL Mobile, only from Verizon.
And back with Falcons head coach Mike Smith and Dave Archer, West Durham. Don't forget Pizza Hut's $10 deal's back. Perfect for the game tonight. Any pizza, any size, any toppings when you order out, just $10. Only at Pizza Hut. The Falcons in Seattle played early a year ago, late prior to in 2010. So it's not an unfamiliar opponent in terms of recent play. Obviously didn't play them this year. How much can you base on the meeting a year ago or the meeting even 2 years ago? Both of them were out there in Seattle. But there are still, in looking at the chart this morning I was putting together for the broadcast, there's still a lot of carryover from Pete Carroll's first 2 years coaching that football team.
There is, Wes. There's a number of guys that have been been with them, but there's been some changes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's going to be changeover. I think as you look at them in the two games that we played out there the last 2 years, the offense has changed because of what they're doing with the quarterback. Russell Wilson brings a completely different dynamic. Marshawn Lynch is still the centerpiece of their traditional run game. They get Russell Wilson involved with some of the run game, and his ability to scramble mm-hmm. is something that's very impressive. Going into the playoffs, you're looking at the third leading rusher in Lynch, almost 1,600 yards. He's got a 77-yard long, mm-hmm. So he can carry it the distance. 23 catches. He doesn't catch it a whole lot. Wilson. So I had almost 195 rushes during the season.
Yeah.
And the thing that stood out to me is a very good scrambler. He can extend plays, and there can be plays that can get extended out into double digits. So the defensive side, they haven't changed a whole lot. Same defensive coordinator. They've got the two really good, two really big physical corners that are arguably the best duo in all the NFL.
Smitty, talking about Russell Wilson, and you mentioned how good he's been throughout the year. Last nine games, 16 touchdown passes, only two interceptions, so he's doing a great job of taking care of the football, working within the confines of what they do. Are you surprised on a general statement here? We got a lot of young quarterbacks playing well in the league. Are you surprised at how well these guys are playing coming out of the box? I mean, these young quarterbacks. I know you're only concerned about with one of them, but across the board, some young players playing pretty well.
Yes, I think over the last 5 years, there's been really the two classes, the class that Matt came out with Joe Flacco. Those two guys have, you know, come in and taken the taken the league by storm, so to speak, over the last 5 years, and have done a very good job. And it just so happens the three quarterbacks, the three rookie quarterbacks this year, and Colin Kaepernick and Christian Ponder unfortunately couldn't play this week, so there's a lot of young quarterbacks that have come, you know, that have come in and are leading their teams into the playoffs. The guy that we're talking about playing this week, third round draft pick, if I'm not mistaken, and he's playing like he's been doing it for a long time.
The interesting part too about their roster and looking at their depth chart. Now it's not just starters. Obviously, Wilson is a rookie, and you get a couple of other guys. But Bruce Irvin, who likely will play if Clemens is down for any extended period of time, is a rookie. He was their first round pick. You look through their kind of two deep, Smitty. There are a lot of rookies. And they're too deep. I mean, who they're asking, third string tight ends, a rookie. They've got some guys.
13, to be exact.
Yeah. I mean, they're really kind of reeling through here a little bit on that, aren't they?
They've done a very nice job in putting their roster together. They've got a rookie starting at the Mike linebacker position, Bobby Wagner from Utah State. He's very athletic. He can run. Earl Thomas is a third-year player. Yeah. The safety, he's a guy that can, you know, that has excellent speed, and then Cam Chancellor is a third-year player, the other safety, and he is, he's a force. He's a guy that tackles extremely well, 231 pounds. He'll get down near the line of scrimmage and be someone that you're going to have to account for. And I really think it's a very good football team. They've done a nice job. The corners. Sherman and Browner. Now Browner's 2 years in the NFL, but he's got 4 or 5 years of
Archball.
See it.
That's where he learned to hold, evidently. Yeah.
In Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that we haven't mentioned, we've talked a little bit about their offense and defense, is they've got a dynamic kickoff and punt returner in Leon Washington from Florida State. He's a guy that can make something out of nothing, and if there's a little bit of a hole there, he can take it the distance. So it's a young football team. They're playing with a lot of confidence. We're looking forward to having them here in the Georgia Dome.
Smitty, you talked about Browner and Sherman, the two corners, big guys. You'd imagine that they'd match up on Roddy and Julio, two big physical wide receivers for the Atlanta Falcons. Now the question is, who gets Tony Gonzalez? And in your estimation, obviously can't give what you're thinking about doing away, but Cam Chancellor is a big guy, probably not a good cover guy. Earl Thomas, a very good cover safety. Is that what you anticipate, maybe taking care of Tony?
Well,
or trying to take care of Tony?
I think they're going to mix it up. I think they do a very good job with Earl and Cam in their scheme about having one close to line of scrimmage and one back. And I think he's going to draw, he's going to draw both of those guys. The linebackers are going to have to cover him at times as well. When we played him last year, they had Earl cover him the most of the time. But I can see Chancellor being a guy that will cover him as well. I know that Coach Pete Carroll and Gus Bradley and that defense staff, they're going to have something that we haven't seen.
Sure.
That's for sure.
I remember looking back at that game a year ago against Seattle, and they had a tough time finding Harry Douglas as well. I mean, is Trufant the nickel guy that comes in? Who gets Harry in the situation?
Well, Trufant has been playing their nickel. Last year when we played up there, he was the starter. Richard Sherman's come in and been the
– he was the nickel.
Yep. And Marcus will be the – Trufant will come in and play the nickel, and Sherman will be, will be outside. And it'll be interesting to see, how they try to disperse the guys. I know they do a very good job with the defensive line, with the rotation. Alan Branch is he flip flops. He's usually the guy that lines up over the guard, and then Brandon Mabain is the defensive tackle or the nose tackle. Red Bryan is a big, gigantic defensive end. And a little side note, he and Sean Weatherspoon from the same high school.
Nice.
Yeah. Sean.
Jasper, Texas.
Yeah, Sean said that they had played together in high school. And that'll be interesting if Chris Clemens can't go, Bruce Irving will get the start. Bruce was a guy that would come in sub situations. And they would have a different, a different alignment and different group in their sub package. So, I think they've done a very nice job on the defensive side of the ball with their personnel. And I think Coach Carroll has got a really, a really confident team plan right now.
Dave and I find ourselves on Sunday sometimes talking about personalities of a ball game. Do you have a feel on Monday for the playing personality, what you're going to get Sunday based on what you've seen out of them and what your team does?
This is a very physical, athletic football team across the board. On the defensive side up front, they're very big inside. The defensive end that usually aligns to the tight end, Red Bryan, is 320-pounder. And then, on the open side, they've got Chris Clemens or Bruce Irvin who can run. Their linebackers have very good speed, but it's a very physical football team that runs well. Mm-hmm. On the offensive side, Golden Tate and Sidney Rice. Sidney Rice is their big receiver. Golden Tate, not necessarily a big guy, but runs extremely well. And been very impressed with Doug Baldwin as well, number 89.
Yeah.
He's got outstanding speed. But the running game with Marshawn Lynch, he's having a monster year, and he's a guy that runs behind his pads extremely well. Robert Turbin, the rookie from Utah State, I think, has done a nice job, and you'll see Leon Washington in there in some of the third down situations as well. Michael Robinson, an ex-quarterback, Dave, from
Penn State,
playing fullback.
Yeah.
So
show some toughness.
Yep, he's tough, and what I think they had two Pro Bowlers on the offensive line.
Yeah, Okung and Unger, right?
Unger, yeah. And they'll mix it up with you, with the right tackle. I can't even pronounce his name. You do it. The right tackle.
Giacomi
or...
All I know is he likes to hold people. That's all I know. I'll be looking for that.
See, Smitty, this is the way it goes on Sundays.
I've evaluated it. He's got 12 penalties this year. He likes to hold people.
That's the way it goes Sundays.
Will it get called? We'll find out.
Yeah. He's already locked
in. I'll take care of that for you.
Smitty, he'll handle all that for you. Yeah. Thanks, as always. Appreciate it.
All right, guys.
Good luck, okay?
All right. And I've enjoyed the show.
Yeah.
Missed you guys last week.
It's been fun. Thank you.
Fun.
Okay.
Head Coach
right.
Mike Smith, stay tuned. Tyson Claybaugh will be with us in moments. We're live at Flowery Branch of the Mike Smith Coaches Show presented by Superior Plumbing.
Looking to throw. Moore intercepted. Asante Samuel, midfield, 40, 35. Samuel cuts back, 20, 15, 10, 5. He's done it. Oh, my. What an announcement to Atlanta. 80 yards for Asante Samuel.
Wow, I don't think I can match that energy. Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile now and experience football on 4G, Verizon 4G LTE. NFL Mobile is built to bring you the game, and so is West Durham.
That's our SunTrust Bank defensive shining play brought to you by SunTrust. Take the next step toward financial well-being with SunTrust. How can they help you shine today? Crafted veteran here, Arch, in the Buckhead Beef Sposadel Player Spotlight.
Yes, this is a perfect guy to
Crafted.
Have in with us for this game and for this week. Tyson, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing great, guys.
How's the body feel? Had a little week off.
Come on, man.
The rest was much needed, obviously, at this point in the season. So we'll take it and try to go out there and get this win. Absolutely,
Smitty said in our visit here in the first half hour, Tyson, that he broached the idea of the bye week practices with you guys when it became apparent that that was a possibility. What was the thing? What did the players think? Because everybody was pretty energetic and optimistic about it last week. And sometimes you throw that out there, and some guys give you the dissension and say, "Oh, I'm not sure," or maybe throw it the good front. It didn't seem to sidetrack the momentum or the chemistry of this football team.
It's just I don't think anybody was really that concerned about it. We're just concerned about winning, mm-hmm. you know. And if Coach Smith thinks that that's what it's going to take to get us over the hump, then yeah. I think everybody was with it. You know, there wasn't much mumbling or grumbling going on. So you know, we went out there, did our work, and hopefully it'll pay off.
Tyson, most of obviously the talk out there is about everybody else and not about you guys. And I know that for one, having been a player, that's okay. You'd like to fly under the radar as much. If a one seed can fly under the radar, you guys are doing that. Does it get in your craw a little bit? Does that get a little extra punch for the game?
I mean, this is the playoffs. This is a home playoff game. We don't need any more motivation, I don't think. But you know, if we are flying under the radar and people aren't really looking at us to be a team to make a run here, then I think they're probably wrong. I think we've got a real good shot at doing something special.
What do you think and you've been here for the entire stretch, mm-hmm. three playoff losses, three disappointments, two times you had to get on a plane and feeling horrible on a plane flight back, once in your own building. What do you feel like is different about this team than last year's team or the team that was a one seed in 2010?
Well, if you just look at the games in the past and earlier this year, you know, we had a team meeting and we talked about what our goals were and where we wanted to go, and Coach Smith put up some clips of those games. Mm. And in each game, there was three, maybe four plays in that game that basically decided the outcome. Some of them were turnovers. Some of them were, you know, fourth down situations. Some of them were missed assignments, offensive, defensive, special teams. The whole, I mean, he didn't just pick on anybody. I mean, he showed a whole the whole thing. And so, you know, you just have to, in my opinion, the older we get and the more experienced we get, the more we realize that each play can be the most crucial play of the game. And you never know when it's going to come. And you can't ever let have a letdown. You have to stay focused at all. I mean, that's what it takes to win the Super Bowl. And I think that you know, we've definitely learned our lesson. I think that we're going to go out there and play a focused football game and come out with a win.
Tyson Klebo's with us in the Buckhead Beef Spa Citadel Player Spotlight. He'll get a Buckhead Beef gift certificate to enjoy the freshest, finest, most tender steaks, chops, and more from Atlanta's own Buckhead Beef. It's the best there is, and he deserves it. He'll also get the Big Burgundy Spa Citadel gift certificate to, and I know where that's going.
Yeah. That's how I got out of the house.
That's so she can enjoy Spa Citadel's new organic soy hot candle wax massage. That's exactly
what?
how he got out of the house.
That's how I got out of the house.
Yeah.
Candle wax massage.
The soy hot candle wax massage.
I didn't say I'm going.
She doesn't have to leave the house for that to happen.
I didn't
she's going to go to Spa Citadel to make
say, I didn't say I'm going to do Coach Smith's radio show. I said I'm going to get you a
Spa Citadel gift certificate to get a massage. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Before we get too far into the postseason, can you give us the final standings of the regular season game that you and McClure play before the games and explain the sport that is?
Let's just say that I have home field advantage for
throughout
the playoffs for the idiot games.
They've
been dubbed. Coach Boudreaux actually dubbed that the idiot games.
The idiot games?
Which fits his personality very well.
All right. So. I was actually asked by somebody on the sideline prior to Tampa, quote, what the hell are they doing out there on the field? Want to explain the idiot games?
Well, it's basically bocce ball.
With a football.
That's the main one. A few years ago, we used to throw the ball a lot, and we're getting old, and it hurts to throw the ball. So we don't throw the ball anymore. We don't do anything that involves throwing the ball. So we play the bocce ball, and then we go over from the goal line, and basically we just shoot free throws with the football to hit the crossbar, and best out of 10 wins that.
You have home field advantage.
I have home field advantage. I'm not exactly sure how many games I won this year. I think it was probably close to 10. I think it was 10-6.
The former Demon Deacon takes out the LSU Tiger.
Yeah, not yet. But, you know, Todd, he just doesn't look like, you know, he's just not interested in it anymore. I think I really beat the desire to play out of him.
You know, you led a public campaign for Todd to get into the Pro Bowl. And hopefully none of you guys nobody has a chance to play in the Pro Bowl. You guys are playing that next week in New Orleans in the Super Bowl. But that being said, disappointment factor, not just on Todd, but disappointing factor that other players Are you three guys going off a 13-3 team? Or voted in?
Maybe. Well, I mean, there are a lot of really good football players on bad football teams. You know, they don't have good records. And, you know, so I don't think that because your team doesn't have a good record that you can't go to the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good point.
You know, and as far as Todd, you know, obviously it was really just about the honor of mm-hmm. being elected. I feel like he should have at some point in his career, and I feel like he's playing some of the best football that I've seen him play. And, and you know, he's getting – I don't know how he does it. The older he gets, he just plays better. I don't know how. But, you know, so I
– Maybe it's because he's more surly.
To add insult to injury, in my mind, I'm not going to make you say this, but Jeff Saturday gets voted in.
Yeah.
Saturday didn't even play in about four games this year. Well, so, I mean –
Well, he's had a fantastic
career. He's had a good career.
He's a hell of a guy and a hell of a football player. And, you know, sometimes the election swings the other way, and you just can't
gotta roll
you can't
with
win
it.
Them all.
Yeah. But it was fun to do, wasn't it?
I had a lot of fun with it because he really doesn't like it. It really gets on his nerves that I tweet those things. And,
yeah.
You know, I mean, who thought that – I mean, I started – my own Twitter, you know, what are my handle, whatever you call it, I don't even know what it is. And just to do that, really, you know,
yeah.
Like he, you know, he thought that he baited me into getting on Twitter, but
right.
Really I just got on so that I could try,
McClure
to, get,
for Pro
try
Bowl.
To get him on the Pro Bowl.
But, yeah.
You know. Such an understated guy, and what a great leader he is on the offensive front.
Before we go too far in our half hour, I do want you to talk at some point about the young guys in the offensive line.
I can do that.
Arch and I are fascinated with Lamar Holmes and Philip Keep Manley just from a sheer size perspective.
Well, they are large. And
2X handles wide,
yeah,
large is what
and,
they are.
You know, but athletic still. You
yeah.
know, and that's important. I think maybe a little too large.
Okay.
But they're, you know, they're young. And
well, and that's something as a veteran player
yeah.
you got to get across
right.
them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've already – I don't know where they're going to go this offseason, but – you know, they both have a lot of potential, a mm-hmm. lot of raw ability.
And, Holmes has got long arms, doesn't he?
He does. He does. But, you know, the thing about him is that he makes it look easy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, almost to the point to where it doesn't look like he's trying. And, you know, they've said, you know, a lot of the great tackles that you watch, one of them that comes to mind right offhand is Joe Thomas. You watch Joe Thomas play tackle, it looks like he's not even trying to play tackle. He just – asleep out there, and it just blocks them up, you know?
Right.
And so if you have the ability to make it look easy, you know, you got some special skills.
Tyson Klabo with us here on the Player Spotlight, the Mike Smith Show here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Dave Archer and Wes Durham. When you look at this this group, and I know you're diving into it hour by hour. It may have happened to be sometime last night for you, but. Two different kinds of defensive ends here. You got one guy that's a Herculean guy, great,
right.
great big guy, and
right.
Red Bryant. He's right. he looks like a defensive nose tackle.
He's one of a kind. He's the only defensive end that looks like that I've seen this season. No, I'm serious. That,
no,
that doesn't
right.
play in a 3-4.
Right.
You know, he's a 4-3 defensive end who weighs, you know, and he's got the ability to get on the edge. I don't know how he, you know, he's just a.
Well,
he's a monster.
And then you get the other guy. If Chris Clemens can go, great pass rushers, had a great year. And then you get the kid out of West Virginia who's great speed, looks more like a linebacker than he does
right.
a defensive end.
Right.
I mean, how hard is it to shift gears whether you got Bryant or whether you got Clemens or Bruce Irvin over you?
Well, really, it's just going to be a matter of really focusing on what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you know, you walk up to the line of scrimmage and you're thinking about what to do on the play as opposed to what they're going to do. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you got a 300-plus-pound man hitting you in the face, or you got a guy running, trying to run by you. So, you mean, you have to break the huddle and know and be aware of who's out there. The longer you play, the easier that gets. Because, I mean, the playbook just starts to come second nature to you, so you can focus in on the things like that. But, no, I mean, it's going to be a definite it's something like two different football games, really. You know, you're going to have the just the trench warfare out there with big man just trying to, you know, run over you, mm-hmm. and then the speed game going over the edge. So it'll be a challenge.
Tyson, you said something a second ago about it becoming second nature. How much of this year or Sunday or whatever is not just about this year but about the 5 years? Because you've been here through it. You've seen right. it. I mean, you were in the what I call the dark – Arch has heard me say it time again – the darkest hour of the program, darkest hour of the team in 2007.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now you've seen it kind of come full circle. So how much of this team is about the building process of 8, 9, 10, 11 getting to 12?
Well, I mean, Coach Smith, for the first, you know, 3 years that he was here, the word "it's a process" came out of his mouth 1,000 times, and at least that I heard it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's right. I mean, it has been all leading up to what we're trying to do. You know, the good you learn from the good, you learn from the bad, and then you try to take those things and move forward. And I think that the fact that the system has remained relatively the same. I mean, there have been little tweaks here and there, mm-hmm. but you know, just makes it easier for you to remember something that happened 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
And go, I need to do this. And not even remember the specific play, but just remember there was a time when this happened and this is what needs to be done. And so I think it's helpful.
All right, we'll take a break. More with Tyson Claybaugh as we go to the top of the hour. The Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing continues after this on 7-9 of the Zone. No.
Welcome back to the Coach's Show on 790 The Zone. Text your questions to Wes and Dave now on the U.S. Auto Sales text line at 77530.
Ryan going to throw on first down. Matt looks, throws. Tony Gonzalez, the touchdown.
Ryan goes, gets the ball so he can spike it.
And here goes Gonzalez for the dunk at Arrowhead.
Wow, we went way back for that one, didn't we? Get coverage of every NFL team from your smartphone, from your tablet, whatever. NFL Mobile, calls Star NFL to get it now. NFL Mobile, I use it in the box during the game, use it after the games, talking to Tyson Clay, whoever I'm talking to, make sure I got his stats right for him, know how many pancake blocks he got. That all comes from NFL Mobile, only from Verizon.
The Falcons and Seahawks is Sunday at 1 o'clock, and our pregame coverage starts with AT&T's countdown to kickoff at 11 a.m. Chris Tomino and Coy Wire on the floor of the Georgia Dome. And don't forget, 7-9 of the Zone offering you a chance, if you're in the Dome at 35, a chance for upgrades and prizes and more leading up to kickoff at 1 o'clock. So if you're in your seat at 12:35, you got a chance to win some
upgrades
and more.
There's a great analogy. Offensive line, you guys get yourselves fired up. You guys have your own little thing that you do prior to coming out. I know Todd does his. Yeah, I love it, the little duck walk. But what does it mean to you guys as you're loosening up if the crowd is in the building at 12:30, 12:25, as opposed to – or do you even pay attention to the fact that they're still filing in at 1:15?
Well, there's definitely – I mean, a big game is always a buzz. And there's people always get to their seats earlier for the big game. And it actually – in warm-ups, if you can't hear Coach Dunn, who does – you know, when we're warming up, if you can't hear him, people are here.
Buzz,
are here. There's a buzz. You know, we got stuff going on. And but, I mean, I'm going to be – it doesn't matter – I could walk out there, and there could be no one in the stands, and I think we're going to be fired up and ready to play. So, I mean, obviously we don't want that to happen, but we want the place full and rocking, but we're going to be fired up.
It speaks to how you guys, the focus of this team for this game, and knowing that the importance is on it, but yet not allowing yourself to get too tight, knowing how much importance is placed on it for yourselves.
Right. No, I mean, it is an important football game. I mean, for us as players, the organization, you know, our coaching staff. I mean, it's what we've worked to achieve all season. You know, all the way back to when we started OTAs. I mean, at this point, you got to say it's what we've worked to achieve for 5 years since you know they've come here. So we're excited. You know, but I don't feel like we're going to be tight. You know, obviously the closer we get to the game, things are going to start to, you know, oh man, it's here, you know, here we go. And,
yeah.
But it's going to be, I think it's going to be a good feel, you know, not a worried or uptight feeling.
Did you watch it this weekend?
Yeah, I watched, I was in and out, for the first game yesterday, but last night I watched pretty much all of it. And, in between taking the dog out and,
Well, they don't get you home on Sundays. When the mic gets you home on Sunday,
man, that was
a lot more
deal,
stuff.
Right? That was a big deal.
There was a huge punch list yesterday.
My daughter said, what is today? I said, it's Sunday. And she said, we're supposed to be playing a football game today. I said, no.
Now, how old is she?
She's six.
Yeah, cutting knowledge on you at six,
yeah,
right?
Oh, man, she knows everything. She knows it all. So, no, they'll be fired up. So, they love it. I mean, they love it.
But the game yesterday, you kind of watch it and see the momentum and the emotion of it. Not that you're breaking tape down. You're just watching the game, right?
Right. I mean, it's funny to watch the TV version and then go back later and watch the film version like we have here. But, they were playing hard out there. Both teams were playing hard. And, you got guys out there who can hardly walk.
Can you confirm bad track at FedEx Field? It was a bad track in October, wasn't it?
I mean, it's just, it's grass, and there's bad fields all over the place. You know, it's a little muddy. You know, it rains there. What can you do?
Yeah. It's interesting, Tyson, when you talk about. I still find myself, even when I'm watching TV, I still try to look at the coverage while I'm watching the game, as opposed to watching the. You find yourself doing, all of a sudden you're watching that defensive end, or you're watching the end tackle game, or what's going on there.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself watching and saying, "Oh no," a lot. You know, like no, because been there. No, that's not good. But I just watch the right tackle pretty much.
Yeah.
It's a horrible habit. You don't know what's going on half the time. And luckily they do good camera work, and the right tackle's not always in there, or I would miss the whole game. So. No, I'm going to have to retrain myself when I get old and older and so that I can actually watch a football game.
All right, we talked about McClure a little bit. We talked about the young guys. The guy lining up beside you is a young guy.
Yeah, Pete.
Peter Kahns. And it just so happens the quarterback on Sunday was his college teammate a year ago.
That's right. That's right. Now, so he has all the – all the inside info on how to stop him.
Yeah.
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 I'm sure he'll be sharing that with
you. You excited about Kahns?
I am excited about Peter.
Yeah, he was with us a couple of weeks ago. Very likable, very enjoyable guy. Got a lot going on.
He has a great demeanor about him. He never gets too excited or too down in the dumps. You know, he's just real steady. And even when, everybody around him is freaking out, like if something doesn't go right and, he's just kind of like, next play, please. And that's good. You have to be able to do that. And he really handles himself well.
Can you give us some idea how difficult it was for him to play guard, never having played guard, always been a center, and now all of a sudden playing guard? How tough has it been, that transition for him?
Well, I mean, you guys got to think about the fact that he did move, which is – difficult. The other thing that you're probably not thinking about is that at Wisconsin, they don't throw the football.
Right.
So he was in school for, 4 or 5 years. I don't know if he redshirted or not. And ran it 80% of the time, probably. And in the Big Ten, he told me this the other day. He's like, nobody had pass rush moves. They just ran right down the middle of you, and that was that. And, and at center, you're never one-on-one at center. Pass protection, you always have help. So he's really transitioned well, and he'll just get better and better.
Have you begun to – how much has the conversation become a little bit second nature between you and him? Because we just talked about in tackle games, passing people off. How has that progressed? I know there's always stuff you can do better, but how has that gone?
No, it's good. Pete, it's gotten better and better, like you said, and it just kind of gets to the point to where now we can just kind of look at each other and go, and we know what we're – what we're thinking or what to expect. And he's got a really short name, so it helps when I yell things at him, Pete, it just comes right out. So it's good.
What have been some of his rookie obligations to the veteran offensive line, Tyson, here in our final few minutes? Well, some of the obligations, some of the things he's been responsible for.
I got to be honest with you guys about Pete. Pete has we have a lot of rookies, right? We got PK and Lamar.
Sure.
Right? And basically Peter – is in charge of those guys, right? Peter is in charge of PK and Lamar. Because, all they have to do is keep the refrigerator with Gatorade and water, right?
Right.
Easiest – I mean, anybody can do that, right? Before you go home, that day, put some more Gatorade and water in there so the next day it's cold.
Sure.
It has to be cold. It can't just be.
Yeah. I mean, room temperature is findable, right?
Why have the refrigerator if the drinks aren't going to be cold?
Right.
And, you know, so these guys, you know, PK and Lamar just kind of walk around like they're lost. You know, and Pete's got to, like, drag them around by their ear and tell them, hey, put some water in there. You know, let's go. Yeah, Pete doesn't do it all. But you know, but when push comes to shove, if there's no water in there, Peter goes and gets the water and makes sure that there's water in there.
You haven't wandered into the meeting room and found a slice of German chocolate cake or anything like that?
I've found some of those guys in there asleep before, but, you know.
Okay.
But no food. No, I mean, well, I take that back. No, there's food in there sometimes, and if I found it, I probably ate it.
All right, give me a key to this game. What's a key coming out of the box offensively that you know you guys are rolling if you got it going? What's a key for you?
Third down.
Winning on third down.
Third down. Yeah, I mean, it's also good if we don't even get to third down.
Right.
If we're getting first downs on first and second down, that's good too. But if we get into third and convert, stay on the field, then we're going to be pretty tough. Protect the football.
Thanks for taking an hour out of your time to come visit with us.
Hey, anytime, guys.
Thank you for the massage, right?
Anything. That's right.
Tyson Clabo with us in the Buckhead Beast Bossadel Player Spotlight. For Dave Archer, West Durham, reminding you, the Mike Smith Show presented by Superior Plumbing. The Honest Plumber at 770-422-PLUM. Brought to you in part by U.S. Auto Sales. Don't forget to log on to youandus.us for the best in-house financing and the best used cars. Also by SunTrust Bank, Verizon Wireless, and Pizza Hut.